Monday morning. Justin Blackwell in for Evan Braid today and tomorrow. Then we're off for a couple of days for New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Brent Laux in the chair on a Friday. And then Evan will be back next Monday. I know Cameron in Regina is concerned about Evan. He was feeling under the weather before the Christmas break and took a few days to get over the Christmas bug that's been going around. And Cameron, he is doing much better, and he will be back in the chair on a Monday. Well, of course, a lot happened in the world of politics in 2025. Really, we could spend the whole 4-hour show talking politics, but we're going to try and jam everything in a few minutes. Brian Lilly from the Toronto Sun joins us now, political columnist who you've heard many times on this radio station as we look back on the year that was in politics. And Brian, first off, I know we've been talking a lot of World Juniors on this show today. Do you have a favorite World Junior moment you'd like to share?
I'm going to go into the Wayback Machine on this one and say the 1987 Pia Stanley punch-up. Because for a long time, I worked with Sean Simpson, who was the goaltender in that one. We worked in radio together back in Ottawa after his hockey career was over. And, remember, I think we could only get that one on radio back in the day, because it was behind the Iron Curtain, and it was something.
I can only imagine trying to being a radio commentator and trying to describe to the audience what was going on.
They turned the lights off at one point. Let's stop the fight, turn off the lights, nobody can see each other. They kept fighting.
Oh yeah, it is one of the classic memories from the World Juniors. So many.
I will say it was not last year when the USA beat us.
No,
but we are watching the World Juniors off and on down here in southern California. So we're still getting our hockey fix.
Absolutely. I know we talked earlier about, the crowd attendance, maybe not what organizers want. And then one listener pointed out, well, there is a big storm happening down in that part of the United States right now. So that's probably a reason for the empty seats. Brian Lilly joining us now as we look back on the year that was in politics for 2025. First off, Brian, simply some of the biggest political moments from the year in Canada.
Well, I would have to say there were a lot of them, because let's go back to December 29th, 2024. Mm-hmm. We still had Justin Trudeau as prime minister. He was not yet dating Katy Perry. Pierre Poilievre, the conservative leader, was on track to become Canada's next prime minister. And Mark Carney was just an advisor who had talked about getting involved in politics in the Liberal Party for over a decade and never had. So it kind of looked like he never really would. He had just turned down an opportunity to become Canada's finance minister about 10 days or 2 weeks prior a year ago, when Chrystia Freeland stuck the knife in Justin Trudeau's front, never mind his back, with her resignation. So, none of us were going to be sitting here a year ago and saying, you know what will happen in 2025? Justin Trudeau is going to resign. Donald Trump is going to be the biggest player in Canadian politics. Pierre Poilievre will not win. And Mark Carney, an unassuming banker with no political experience, will become prime minister. Which of those do you pick as the biggest? To me, they're all one story. And what I'll say it teaches all of us is that things can change. And so for folks that are either, liberals who are celebrating how great things are for them now, or conservatives saying, well, but everything's going to be awful, just remember, things can change. And it's not the first time I've seen it, or perhaps not as dramatic as last year.
No, absolutely. I mean, you ask anybody, well, definitely in these parts, who's going to win in that election, Pierre Poilievre or Mark Carney? And, 100 out of 100 people would have picked Pierre Poilievre. And as the year ends, conservatives are polling better than any point since the election. Do you still think that Pierre Poilievre is the man to lead the Tories?
Well, I don't see anybody else on the horizon for the party. I don't see anybody on the conservative benches who's looking to step forward. I speak to a lot of MPs from various parts of the country. Nobody is organizing against him. You couldn't say that about Aaron O'Toole or Andrew Scheer at this point after their election losses. Both of them had people looking to take them out. There's grumblings about Polyev in some circles, and mainly that comes down to anger that they lost. But, you know, he's going to survive, I believe, unless there's more floor crossings. I mean, look, let me put caveats in here, especially after what I just said and what we experienced in the last year. If he doesn't have more floor crossings, there's a good chance that he will survive his leadership review at Calgary at the end of January. If there's more floor crossings, that becomes more difficult. And I was writing recently that even if he survives the leadership review by members, the Conservatives have the Reform Act. And so he's going to be under constant review by his MPs who have the ability to get rid of him with the vote. So he's got a rough go-ahead. But, you know, I'll say this. You mentioned the polling at any time better than at any time since the last election. That's accurate. Mm-hmm. And the media narrative, especially from the Ottawa bubble, is always about how Pierre Poilievre is a failure. Nobody likes him. Nobody wants him. But the party is still doing well, and he's the leader. He's not as popular as the party right now. A year ago, he was more popular than the party. Right now, he is less popular than the Conservative Party. But the Conservatives are tied with the Liberals. For all intent purposes, they're tied, either directly tied or it's margin of error. So they're doing well, and they're winning on the issues. You know, Mark Carney keeps trying to steal bits of Poilievre's policies, bail reform, tax cuts, axing the carbon tax. He doesn't go as far as Poilievre would, but as Poilievre said to me in the year-end interview that you can find on my social media or my website, what have you, he said, you know, they're at least stealing the talking points, if not the full policy. So that shows that he's still having an impact. And I'll say this, I first got to Parliament Hill as a full-time reporter. I'd covered it off and on. I was a local reporter in Ottawa. And so I would go up to the Hill for certain big events. But I became a full-time parliamentary correspondent in March of 2005. About 10 months earlier, Stephen Harper had lost the 2004 election. And I show up, and all the smart people that I looked up to and saw on TV as pundits, they all said, Stephen Harper will never be prime minister. And January 2006, he became prime minister. And governed for 10 years. But the smart set all said there was no way Stephen Harper could do this, and he had a horrible personality, and Canadians wouldn't warm to him. You know, a lot of this is going to depend on external factors for both Carney and Poilievre. You know, does Carney deliver, or does he just keep talking about delivering? That's a big question in 2026.
Speaking with a political columnist for the Toronto Sun, Brian Lilly, as we look back on the year that was in 2025. Brian, do you have any top Saskatchewan moments for us in the world of politics?
I would say smart moves by your province in dealing with the firearms issue in a very massive way that hasn't gotten the attention that, say, Alberta, being a bit more flashy. But Premier Scott Moe, Chief Firearms Officer Bob Freeburg, putting in place measures so that the gun grab out of Ottawa doesn't go forward. And that, by the way, is a disastrous policy that's costing us tens of millions of dollars and hasn't resulted in anything concrete happening yet. The policies and the laws that Moe and Freeburg have put in place are going to protect Saskatchewan firearms owners. Ontario is being even quieter about it, but they've said essentially we're not going to participate. Alberta's not participating. Yukon government's not participating. So this policy out of Ottawa that came from Trudeau that Carney should have just walked away from and said it's unworkable, I think it's going to become a lightning rod. But your government has protected the province.
Do you have a favorite political moment from this year past?
Listeners won't be shocked to say that I've got some disappointment over April 28th, 2025. So I wouldn't call that a favorite, but it's definitely one of the biggest.
Speaking with Brian Lilly, political columnist for the Toronto Sun, as we look back on the year that was and the year ahead. So, Brian, what do you think 2026 will bring for politics in this country?
I think it's going to be, as I said earlier, a lot about can Carney deliver? That's the number one issue that he's going to be facing, is that he keeps promising big things. He's got this major projects office. He said he's going to get a pipeline built, but he's just got an MOU. I've spoken to Premier Smith about her MOU, and she says it's a good thing, so I'm going to stick with her. But the can Carney actually, these big projects, it's not just about him politically, it's about us economically. When I listened to Donald Trump's inaugural speech at the end of January earlier this year, I was blown away by what he was promising to do with the American economy, not just what he was going to do to Canadian and other economies with tariffs, but what he would do to the American economy by unleashing it, getting government out of the way. And I wrote at the time that we needed to do that. And Mark Carney promised to do that in the election by saying, we will think big, act bigger, move at speeds not seen in generations. Well, we're still moving at Ottawa speed, which Ottawa speed is like a sloth. It does not move very fast. It needs to be going faster if we want to unleash our economy. Saskatchewan's doing well. Alberta's doing well. Ontario is getting hit hard by tariffs. That is slowing down the economy in central Canada. Quebec, their economy is dependent on money being sent from you to them. I think that's going to become a flashpoint in this coming year as well. Premier Mo has been pushing on that issue again. I really do worry about national unity going forward. We've got three provinces with increasing separatist sentiment. And what I keep telling my colleagues who talk about, Alberta sentiment, separatist sentiment is rising, I keep saying, pay attention to Saskatchewan, because the polling shows it's even a little bit more popular there. And the resentment that I hear when I visit Saskatchewan is very real, and the grievances are real. Most people I know still want to, are still proud Canadians and want to be Canadian, but there's a feeling of hopelessness. But I've talked to smart, well-respected people in Saskatchewan who are flirting with the separatist movement and sentiment, saying, I just don't see it getting better with Ottawa. That's a huge issue for this year.
Yeah, definitely a big talker coming up in 2026. Before I let you go, Brian, you mentioned obviously the pipeline and the MOU signed with Alberta. Does Prime Minister Carney actually want a pipeline?
Well, I mean, he signed the agreement, and there is a path there. So he, if he doesn't want one, he's made it so that it is feasible. If you read his book Values, the answer would obviously be no. But he seems to be attempting to be a pragmatist at this point. And when you look at Canadian public sentiment, what is it, over 70% of the public, over 60% of the public say, yes, we need pipelines to Tidewater. Unfortunately, due to the Premier of British Columbia, not the public there, public in British Columbia is behind it, but due to political opportunism in British Columbia, that pipeline to Tidewater might go straight down from Alberta into the United States and head out to a port in Washington State.
Brian Lilly, political columnist with the Toronto Sun, joining us this morning. Brian, thank you so much for taking some time with us this morning. Have a happy new year, and we'll see what happens in 2026 when it comes to politics in this country.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, as Brian mentioned, about what happens in 2026 when it comes to the Prime Minister and what's on his wish list for 2026. A lot to cover in the weeks and months to come. in 2026. Much more here coming up on the Evan Bray Show. I'm Justin Blackwell, filling in here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Designated driver, take the keys to my truck. Hit the shop cause I'm faded. Honey's in the street, say money, yo, we made it.
Well, welcome on this Monday morning, Justin Blackwell in for Evan Bray today and tomorrow. Then we take a couple days off. Brent Lauk's in the chair Friday, and then Evan will be back next Monday as we welcome in 2026. And we just had Brian Lilly on the show, political columnist with the Toronto Sun, as we look back on the year that was in a politics in this country. And of course, we talked about the election, and at the start of that election, I don't think a lot of people had Prime Minister Mark Carney becoming the Prime Minister over Pierre Poilievre and the Conservatives, but it happened. And now the Conservatives are polling better than they did since the election, about neck and neck with the Liberals right now. If you want to get in on the conversation, 1-877-332-8255. Maybe you have a top political moment you'd like to share from the year that was. Of course, we talk politics on this show, and people love to text in. Conspiracy Kevin texting in is saying he has said more than once on this program that there was no way Pierre was going to win. He had no intention of winning. Kevin thinks it wasn't part of the plan. His job is to fuel the division and provide a false sense of hope. This texter, remember, leave your name and where you're from when you text in 1-877-332-8255. Pierre Poilievre is the best thing to happen for the Liberals. A textbook narcissist who can't accept he was the reason the Conservatives lost the election and his seat. And the Conservatives, this texter says, still falling in the polls because of his leadership. It is embarrassing. And I remember there was a caller on the show, on the Evan Bray Show last week, talking about Pierre Poilievre and his leadership, and that maybe some people are put off by the way he acts and the things he says, getting into those, you know, corny lines. When it comes to, you know, making fun of the Prime Minister and the Liberals. And so that texter, that caller rather, was talking about how he feels like, yeah, if he just changed his tone maybe a bit, then the Conservatives might do better in the polls and maybe the next election. And Nick texts in. Pipelines make sense for all sides. We talked about whether the Prime Minister, in fact, even wants a pipeline. If going to export oil and gas, they're more efficient and safer than oil tanker trains and trucks in cities. Again, if you want to get in on the conversation, 1-877-332-8255. Jason Abig joins me after the news. We're going to take a look at business in the year that was in Saskatoon here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Monday morning, Justin Blackwell in for Evan Bray today and tomorrow. And as I've mentioned, then we'll take a couple days off for New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Brent Lauk's in the chair on Friday, and then Evan will be back fresh and recharged next Monday morning. I'm joined now by the CEO of the Greater Saskatoon Chamber of Commerce, Jason Abig, who has been so gracious to come into the studio live for us today. Welcome. Absolutely. Now, we were talking off air. We've been talking a lot of World Juniors on this program today. And you and I share the same fondest World Junior moment.
Isn't that cool? Yeah, I was just sharing with you off air, you know, when we hosted in 1991, I was in grade 9 or grade 10 at the time. And I remember we got one ticket for my family, and I got to go to the gold medal game. And I remember how electric it was at Saskatchewan Place back then. It was just awesome.
Yeah, Saskatchewan Place.
It's Saskatchewan Place.
Right? I remember. Right? We've got some old cups from the Sass Place logo on them. We found those over the holidays.
See, you throw those on eBay. Those things are worth a buck and a quarter now. So, you know.
Absolutely. 91. What would the economic impact have been for Saskatoon
back then? Yeah, that's a great question. I can't pull that out of my head, but it would have been massive. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's be honest. You know, that besides the Je Canada Games, I think, which we hosted like in 89, mm-hmm. That was probably the biggest event that Saskatoon had hosted ever to that point. And yeah, I mean, it's massive. When you can host those kinds of events in a mid-sized city, it takes over the whole city. And, of course, the restaurants and the retail and the hotel guys, you know, get that first bump. But it does a lot to a city to just give it a bump overall. It's a point of pride for a mm-hmm. community to host something like that on an international stage. Little Saskatoon, Saskatchewan in the middle of Canada is suddenly, you know, on TV screens across the world. That's pretty cool.
And yeah.
It has a huge impact on Saskatoon.
Yeah, and I remember that tournament was just not Saskatoon and Regina, but there was games in Prince Albert.
That's right.
There were games in Humboldt as
That's
well.
Right.
So,
That's right.
Yeah, it was good for the whole province. Absolutely.
Awesome.
Jason Abig joining me this morning as we look back on the year that was for business in this city. So what was 2025 like for the business community?
Well, yeah, you know, it was the year of the tariff. I don't think a lot of people knew what a tariff was until, you know, earlier this year. It's like, what is he talking
Not
about?
Not to this degree,
that,
right?
That yeah. Trump guy's talking about tariffs. What is, but you know, it really was. And, you know, for us in Saskatoon and in Saskatchewan generally, you know, I don't think we really understood or appreciated what that impact was going to look like. It felt like the United States had flipped the table on this trade relationship, which they did. And because we're so trade dependent, we're an export city, we're an export province. We make our money by selling stuff to other people. You know, you immediately go to, oh my God, the sky's falling. What we ended up actually seeing was that we were pretty insulated from the tariff debacle south of the border, because so many of our goods and commodities are covered under CUSMA, of course, but also because we had, you know, the province and the premier had already initiated pretty strong trade relationships with a bunch of other markets everywhere. And so, you know, we're coming out of this year where, you know, frankly, I think we thought the sky was falling. Mm-hmm. It didn't fall. It didn't fall on us. In fact, we ended up probably better off than most provinces in the country.
Well, the motto around here, you know, shop in a store with a door.
100%.
And, you know, over the holidays, yes, I was doing some last minute Christmas shopping. but you know, I noticed there was still a lot of people out shopping in a store with a door.
It was actually very good. Mm-hmm. You know, and we won't know what the holiday retail season really looked like here until, you know, a couple of weeks from now when the big companies like Mineris, who handle all of those point of sale machines, will be able to report out and say, look, here's the level of activity that we saw. But anecdotally, I couldn't find a parking spot mm-hmm. downtown. And most of the retailers that are in the chamber network who were sort of reporting into us said that sales were steady and traffic was good. And but they were also being very, very smart with their inventory this year. You could also see that on the retail side, nobody was going to be sort of going berserk on bringing in extra product unless they knew they could move it. So everybody was sort of being cautious this year, mm-hmm. but it didn't mean an interruption to traffic or demand. It was all there, which is good.
Jason Abig joining me this morning, the CEO of the Greater Saskatoon Chamber of Commerce. Some of the biggest successes this year.
You know, we had a couple. We have been a bit loud on airline competition, and I know it seems kind of strange for a small chamber of commerce in the middle of the prairies to be lighting up this issue, but it affects communities like us most directly when we just cannot get adequate competition on routes. That means inflated prices and less service, frankly, to our business and leisure travel community. So the Competition Bureau came out with a big report this summer, which we had participated in. You know, our fingers are crossed. We hope to see some changes on that front in the next, you know, year or two. And then the other, I think, big thing that was sort of a milestone was the whole conversation on Deed. Mm-hmm. What are we doing about this downtown arena and entertainment district? Do we have a private partner? Is there a road forward? And a big milestone was actually having, a private partner come and present to us and share what they see is a potential agreement.
Well, let's talk about that downtown arena
sure.
and entertainment district. Are you optimistic that's still going to happen?
it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. The question is whether or not it will happen with this particular private partner, OVG, OVU Group, mm-hmm. Or whether it will happen with a different private partner. We do know, and we support the idea that this kind of project should be self-financed. It does not need to be put on the mill rate. A property taxpayer does not have to foot the bill for this. But there's no disputing the fact that we have got to get our heads wrapped around this, because there are other markets within an earshot of us that are well out of the gate on this. And if we drag our feet on this, ultimately we will pay a bigger price down the road.
Well, you mentioned property taxes. Definitely don't want to be seeing that on a property taxes when it comes to that downtown arena and entertainment district.
No.
Given the budget that just passed, you know, one of the biggest we've seen in years.
Exactly right. Yeah. I mean, that's another big conversation we're going to want to start in 26. Nobody likes to pay taxes, Justin. Like nobody. Yeah. I totally understand that, but we all appreciate we have to pay mm-hmm. into the pot. But there has got to be, I think, a greater effort put into trying to optimize the resources that are in the system now. Our members continue to think that there are dollars in the couch cushions. We don't have to keep going back out to the taxpayer every time we want to finance something. And yes, there are inflationary pressures on cities. Welcome to the club. There's inflationary pressures on households and businesses too. So can we get smarter about the money that is currently in the system and thereby reduce the need to go out and get other dollars from outside? We're going to kickstart a conversation about that early in 26. We have some ideas for the city of Saskatoon and we'll look forward to sharing those.
Well, and how do those property tax increases, you know, affect local businesses and the chamber?
Well, the cost of operating a business today is frankly far more expensive than it was even 5 or 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And everybody blames the pandemic, and that's a big piece of it for sure. That loss of business activity certainly impacted a lot of bottom lines. But we also have to acknowledge the hyperinflation on everything. All of the inputs into that business, whether it's wages and benefits, whether it's the actual products or services that are being delivered, the taxes now that are going in to operate in this city, it becomes a cost prohibitive to be in business. And that's the last thing we need and want. These are the biggest employers in our community. These are the ones that support our local teams. They get behind local causes. They're in it for all of us. And the minute they decide to pull the plug or go down, that is bad news for all of us. So the cost of operating a business in Saskatoon will always be on our radar, of course, at the top of the list. But we're really going to have to dig in here, because double digit property tax increases every 24 months is not sustainable.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. Jason Abig, CEO of the Greater Saskatoon Chamber of Commerce, so joining me as we look back on the year that was in business and the year ahead. What is ahead for 2026?
What is ahead for 2026? Well, you know what? Well, we will continue this conversation on deed. Mm-hmm. City Council wants to have this, wanted to take some extra time to look at the deal that's on the table, which I think was a smart move. And they're going to circle back on it early in 26, so we'll be watching for that. We're going to watch, obviously, the provincial budget. We are in a fiscal position here that looks pretty challenging. We clearly cannot sustain deficits at that level. Does that mean tax increases? Does that mean maybe cuts in some key areas? Clearly, we have government that we can't afford at the moment, and so we're going to have to figure out what that looks like. And then, of course, we're going to watch to see what impact that has on our small and mid-sized businesses. And then, of course, our biggest industries, you know, potash in particular. Mm-hmm. The U.S. has just lifted sanctions on Belarusian potash, which was finding its way into the market anyway, but now it's out there.
Yeah.
And that's going to depress prices a bit. And so big companies like Nutrien and others who've got, big supply chains that stretch across the province, and in particular Saskatoon, we're really going to have to watch that and see how that ultimately impacts the performance of businesses in the city.
And before I let you go, Jason, one final message for entrepreneurs and business owners as they look ahead to 2026?
We're in a good spot. we're in a good spot. So despite perhaps some headwinds that we are seeing and feeling now, when you look at where we are from 30,000 feet, Saskatoon's in a good spot. And we just have to now make some really smart choices about what we do going forward, whether it's a downtown development project or what we do on things like taxes. If we play our cards right and we're smart, we will win the future here.
Jason Abig, thank you so much for this. Happy New Year, and all the best in 2026.
You too, Justin.
I'm Justin Blackwell, sitting in for Evan Bray here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.
Now they always say congratulations. Work so hard for the whole two vacation. They ain't never had a dedication. People hate say we're changing, look, we made it.
Welcome on this Monday morning. Justin Blackwell in for Evan Bray the next couple of days. We just had Jason Abig on the program, the CEO of the Greater Saskatoon Chamber of Commerce, as we looked back on the year that was for business in Saskatoon. The Regina Chamber CEO, Mike Tate, is going to be joining me after the break as we look at Regina's side of things. And we talked about, you know, shopping in a store with the door and noticing a lot more people shopping over the holidays, given everything that's happened with inflation and the price of everything. And Cameron in Regina text in 1-877-332-8255. Noticing two things. Never seen the shelves in stores so fully stocked, even the days following Christmas. And I noticed that most of the heavy traffic weren't, in fact, carrying very many purchases. Didn't notice that when I was out shopping. Didn't really look for that. So I get good on camera, Cameron, for noticing that. But did notice that foot traffic was pretty heavy in the days leading up to Christmas. If you have a thought on the economy when it comes to Saskatoon and Regina, give me a text, 1-877-332-8255. We also spoke earlier with Brian Lilly, political columnist with the Toronto Sun, looking back on the year that was in politics in Canada and this province. And, of course, Prime Minister Mark Carney was a big talker, the big talker when it comes to what happened in that federal election. And Colleen from Buena Vista points out, do people forget that the only reason that Mark Carney was able to get riding is because he booted out Chandra Arya, who was a 9-year MP. And if you remember, yep, Mark Carney got a seat in Nepean, Ottawa, that suburban section of West Ottawa. And good point made there, because a lot of people talking about Pierre Poilievre when he lost his seat in the federal election and then went to Alberta to get his seat back. So a good message there from Colleen on the text line. Again, 1-877-332-8255. As I mentioned, Mike Tate, the Regina Chamber's CEO, is going to be joining us after the break as we look back on the year that was in Regina. Earlier in the show, too, we've been talking a lot. I've been asking everybody, all the guests, their top World Junior moment as the World Juniors continue down in the States in Minnesota, and a big storm happening there that started, I believe it was yesterday, possibly Saturday. That may be a reason why some of the crowds are a bit on the low end when it comes to the games. But so many great memories. And Jason Abig mentioned 1991 in Saskatoon, the gold medal game between Canada and the Soviet Union. Canada scoring late to claim the gold medal. One of the best moments from my childhood growing up. I was fortunate enough to go to that game. A lot of people mentioning Jordan Eberle and that goal against Russia to send them, well, that game to overtime and then the final. Do you have a favorite World Junior moment? 1-877-332-8255. I'm Justin Blackwell in for Evan Bray here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.